Not a financial testimony, but a testimony nonetheless. Amen. Anybody got a financial one? I had an email. Was it an email or a text message not too long ago? Somebody paid off a car. Man, you're really taking this thing serious, Brother Mark. I appreciate it. Man, I feel like, and I didn't scold you last week. I was scolding the other men in here that didn't help. Nobody? I thought somebody shared that with me. It must have been private. Oh, we got pointing fingers back there at each other. He raised it. Did you raise your hand, Andrew? Were you the one? Do you want to share that? I'm never contacting the pastor again. Tell him something in private. He wants to air it out to everybody in the church.
So yeah, that was a text that you got from me. It was something that we decided to do. We had two car payments, actually. We have both of our cars that we were carrying loans on, and it's the weight of the interest versus what it could be doing for us, so that we could do more, was worth it to us to take it out of the savings that we had built up over the last couple of years, and regain control of those payments, or eliminate those payments, I should say, and be more responsible with what we've been given.
Amen. Amen. And I'm not, you know, obviously our trust is in the Lord, but right now there's good opportunities, can I say this? And it's still up in arms. I mean, the tariffs that are happening right now could hurt things, but I think it's more of a pressure technique right now from our current administration. But the market's been pretty good, S&P and Dow, and they're expecting it to be strong for the next 4 years. If you get in now and build something up, who knows what takes place? You say, well, I'm banking on the Lord to come. Okay, well, then do that. Nothing wrong with that. I've known a lot of preachers that live in absolute poverty because they do that. I know a lot of preachers that believed the mess about opting out of Social Security and then never did nothing, and then they have nothing. And then they die and their wife has nothing. There's nothing more sad than watching a church give a pastor what do you call them? Pastorate. What do you call those things? Huh? No. Parsonage. Thank you, whoever said that. They give him a parsonage as part of a compensation packet, and then he dies. And then they give her 30 days to get out, and she has nothing. And so that's foolishness. And, I said all that to say this. With what we've been talking about, this is the time to do things. And, and you say, well, it's gambling. It's this, that, and the other thing. It isn't. You can go to Christian financial advisors, and they will put you in markets that are not, for lack of a better term, wicked. You know, some people, you know, there is investments out there that are wicked. I mean, I'm sure there's stocks for the pornography industry. I'm sure there is. I don't know. I'm sure there is, though. And they probably make a lot of money on that. But you go to a Christian financial advisor and you put them in good, solid, moral, I guess you could say, mutual funds, and you're helped. And so, yeah, be wise. Jesus even gave the parable that he was supposed to. He gave 1 5, gave 1 2, gave 1 1 talent. The 5 invested and got 10. The 2 invested and got 4. Both of them gained 100% on their investment. The 1 took it and hid it. And so, yeah. Amen. Good stuff. I have done that in the past, but then you have to, and we'll talk about this when we get to the next point. You have to decide, do I want to take my cash to get rid of a payment? You know, sometimes you can make payments. I'm not going to say payments are always wrong. We make payments on our houses, don't we? It's just you have to balance it all out. You take, and let's say he's got 3 months or 6 months, whichever Andrew's goal is, of savings to cover an injury or something like that, or cover whatever, where he's out of work, something happens, a tragedy happens, your money runs out at work, they only let you have so many sick days, and you have to live off of it. You have to be careful, am I gonna take all that savings and pay off the two cars to free up that money? So you have to look at all those things, and we're gonna look at those when we look at goals. But good stuff. I mean, interest and stuff is terrible. Now, the folks that have good credit and get a low interest rate, and you buy a $30,000, $40,000 car, you're not paying back as much as a person that gets an 11 or 12% on a car. So, but anyways, and you have to figure that out for yourself. But the Bible does say that the borrower is servant to the lender. And I think Congress has had all kinds of meetings with these MasterCard, Visa, Discovery, and American Express. It is a mafia market. They are robbing people blind. And then when the banks fail, they bail them out. It's been a bad situation. Anyways, that's good stuff. And it's nice. Now take that money and free it up and do something with it. And I'm sure you will, Brother Andrew. Amen. Anybody else? 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. I always want to use at least a verse of Scripture. But godliness with contentment is great gain. And there's so much financial teaching in that verse of Scripture. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And it doesn't, that does not conflict with Jesus saying, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. This is not a conflict. We can carry nothing out. You're carrying nothing with you. And that's where preachers say, you don't see people driving trailers to the boats and all that kind of stuff behind the hearse to the funeral home or to the cemetery. You can't take it with you. Job said, naked came I into this world, naked shall I leave. Verse 8, and having food and raiment, that's a convicting verse of Scripture, isn't it? How many of us in here only have food and raiment? Yeah. He says, and having food and raiment, let us be therewith, with the food and raiment, content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts. All these senators and congress people that make less than $200,000 and their net worth is in the millions, they started out as, what do you call those people that work in Congress that are that help the Congress people and the senators? What do you call those folks? Pages. Huh? Pages. Interns, pages, whatever they are. They see what those other ones are doing. It is a system, and you work your way up, and they see what's taking place. And watch this. I said that to say this, but they that will be rich fall into temptation. They're tempted with that stuff. And a snare. How many times have we seen illegal trading with senators and congress people, representatives? And they get information and they say, oh, I can move my stocks and so on and so forth around. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men. Somebody will say, well, it don't seem like they're getting punished for it now. This is just the beginning. There's a great white throne of judgment. And if they're saved, there's a judgment seat of Christ. Into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money, context, is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. It looks like Paul's inferring that he's speaking to Christians. They've what? Erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Father, we'd ask you to help us tonight as we continue this. There's so many principles. There's so many teachings. There's so much truth in the Bible. The more I study it, that have to do with money. And I'm fearful in a biblical sense, Lord, that I'm now responsible once I study this stuff. I'm now accountable once I study this stuff. I now have to make an application to it, or it's just wisdom falling in the streets, and I will be, for lack of a better word, penalized for it later. So help us, Lord, to apply these truths to our lives, and help us to be more secure in our savings and our sharing and our spending, in mindfulness of your stewardship over our lives and over what you've given us. So help us tonight, I plead. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Tonight, I want to briefly touch on the last two. Honestly, this is going to be short. I know people chuckle at that, but anyways. I want to look at the last two obstacles that I mentioned. I mentioned them last week. I want to touch on them, then I want to move to the next two. To close, Jacob, are you laughing at me? Okay. I get paranoid up here. I know I say that, and then I'm held accountable for, yeah, he said that was his last point, and then he went another 40 minutes. Last week I mentioned two. I want to get to those two, and then I want to start putting some goals. I want to put some tools in your hands. I've given a lot of tools, but I want to put some tools in your hand that if you'll put them in place now, you'd be surprised what God can do with those. So I want to mention those that I mentioned last week, move forward with the next two principles to finances. And can I just add this? I honestly could go on for weeks. And I know we've sporadically hit and miss this stuff in between other stuff, but this could go on for this could be a Sunday school series for years. With a passage of scripture, you're limited to what's there in the text. And somebody will say, well, great goodness, you took Philemon and spent a year and a half on it. I get it. There's a lot in there. One preacher said, it's a well so deep, no matter how many buckets you put in it, you'll never drain it. And that's the Bible. You should be always learning. Well, I read it, and then you don't grow past that. So it's limited in what's in there. With this topic, though, the obstacles are so many based on each person's difficulties. You might sit in here and say, well, pastor's talked about debt so much, I don't have debt. He needs to talk about how do I begin to build dividends and help what I've got. And I've mentioned that to Noah and Ryan and other people. You can start now. No matter how much it is, you're developing a habit and a system to put stuff aside. And if nothing else, well, it might not ever compound and get to that 1.1 million. But when you get ready to get married, and let me say this while I touched on that, I've told all mine before. Do you know how many people spend an exorbitant amount of money on a wedding? And all it is for a moment. And I've always said this, I think I shared this with all mine, don't spend it on a wedding. Spend it on your first home. They spend it on a wedding. They got cars they're paying for. Then next thing you know, they're paying rent on somebody else's property, and they never can get out of it. And so, yes, we've talked about the debt, but there is, we're going to touch on the other stuff where, teach me, Pastor, to build from where I'm at. I have no debt, and I don't want to acquire it. Well, the not acquiring it was all the messages prior to this. Next couple weeks, we'll talk about building it from here on out. But anyways, with the obstacles, there's so many, and there's so many because they're based on each person's difficulties. One person might have a difficulty saving, another person might have a difficulty with credit cards, and we've covered so much of that, and we could go on and on for some time. I'm just highlighting, as I said before, the most common. I do want to say this as well before we close out these obstacles, and maybe I'm just saying it more from my age and my experiences than anything else. People trying to overcome obstacles do not fail for a lack of a desire. Let me say that again. People trying to overcome obstacles to finances, I'm specifically talking about that, do not fail for a lack of desire. I have talked to hundreds of people through the years about finances, and everyone sits there and says, preacher or Michael or whatever it may be, I don't want to be here. I want to fix this. I want to fix that's desire. I want to fix this. I don't like being in this situation. I want to save. Even if they're not in debt, I want to save. I need to save. I really need to do this. I'm going to make a New Year's resolution. I'm going to not spend this money on Dairy Queen or what's the one? Dunkin' Donuts. And I'm going to do this. And then it lasts for a while and they never follow through with it. And it never gets off the ground. People trying to overcome obstacles do not fail for a lack of desire. They fail for a lack of discipline and dedication. They fail because of a lack of discipline and dedication. It takes no discipline to just sit and stop at Dunkin' Donuts every day and get a. Libby and I went on date night the other day. I splurged, man. And I've been talking about this stuff about, you know, being careful with your budget. Don't spend too much on frivolous stuff. And I sent her a text message sitting in the living room, and I went, that's our date night. You know, I got a text message my wife, and I said we were going to go get a now watch this now. Caramel frappe from the Irish restaurant, McDonald's. You knew where I was going with that, didn't you? And we got those things. We got the medium. $479. And I was thinking, what in the world? Two of them, $479, it was over $10. And then we sat in the parking lot. What's that grocery store over there, Brother Mark, in Hudson by McDonald's? Is that Acme or Giant Eagle? Acme? Sat in the Acme parking lot with the heat on. Under the moonlight. That's date night. Don't get jealous. That's date night. February 14th, we went to Walmart, exchanged cards in the aisle. Saves a lot of money, doesn't it? Write these tips down, Ryan. All right? When you get married, you want to save some money? Take your wife to Walmart. Go down the card aisle. Pick out a card, hand it to her, let her read it, put it back. You save, what is it for a card now, Patty? Huh? $479. Times two? $10, man. Put that $10 towards a new towards a mutual fund. You know what I'm saying? Anyways, people trying to overcome obstacles do not fail for a lack of desire. They fail for a lack of discipline and dedication. And that, honestly, I'll even go as far as to say this, could be said for many things in the Christian realm. I've talked to thousands of people that have a desire to be a better Christian. And you know what's stopping them? Discipline and dedication. It's easy to just drive on the way to work, drive through Dunkin' Donuts and get a drink every day. It's difficult. It takes dedication and discipline to take that money and say, I'm going to put that in a savings account. I'm going to put that in a savings account. I have a savings. I won't say how I round it off or what I round it off to, but I get interest on my savings of a certain amount. And every month when that happens, I force myself to, it's making a payment to yourself. I force myself to round that up to a specific number, and I put that in out of my excess that's in my checking account. And I'm paying myself. That's a whole lot more, Andrew, that's a whole lot more satisfying than it is sending $367.80 or $572.40 or whatever car payment, $747.50 into a thing, and then you get on your account, it says payoff value today, and you just sit there and say, man, is that ever going to go? It's nicer to see the number increase than it is to decrease. Debt decreasing. What would be the word for that? Debt reduction is not as invigorating, Brother Mark, as it is asset increase, right? I like it. I get infatuated with it sometimes the older I get, man. I look and I go, oh, wow, that's nice. Got my little widget now. Brother Matt, do you have a little widget? Anybody got a widget on their phone for the stock market? I'm just watching this. Brother Mark, do you have one? Look at that little nod. But you can't get caught up in it. There's a balance. People have a desire in the Christian realm with many things. I've never met a person that is a Christian that doesn't have a desire to get out of debt and be a better steward. I've never just talked to a Christian and they say, no, I don't mind being in debt. No, I enjoy it, actually. I've never met somebody like that. They do not lack desire. The problem in overcoming the obstacles or honestly never having to face obstacles is a lack of discipline and dedication. That's where it's difficult. It's just, I hear things like this, preacher's just too difficult. I don't know how. I don't know if I can do it. I don't know if I can get out of debt. You've already surrendered to it. That's why so many people believe and so many people do it and get in debt that it causes you, well, everybody else is in debt. You know, it's like they used to say, my mother used to say this to me, and I'd say, well, everybody else is doing it at school. And she'd be sarcastic with me, and she'd say, well, if everybody else is jumping off of a building, are you going to do that too? Did anybody's parents say that to them? And I get the point. You could have explained it a little differently to me. But anyways, the list could go on of things people say, or they launch out to overcome the obstacle, and discipline and dedication fall by the wayside. I was talking about New Year's resolutions at the beginning of the year. What is it, the second or fourth week or the third week? What was it, Brother Mark? You had heard about it before? Failure Friday? Is it 2 weeks into the New Year's resolutions? It's Failure Friday because you give up. The Planet Fitness markets people like that. They drop those things, they get that minimum $10 down or whatever it is for the purple membership, and then you get in there and next thing you know you quit going. Guess what they're doing? If they get 100 people that give $10.99, they just got $1,000 a month off 100 people, and you know there's more than that, and it's just banking it. These places that do this kind of stuff, deferred interest payments for 60 days or 60 months or whatever like that, they're banking on the fact that you don't ever pay that off, and then when you get to the time where you still owe money on it, now all of those payments that you or interest payments you deferred, whammo. I mean, can you believe there used to be a place? I don't know I've ever seen one up here. I lived outside of a military base in Augusta, Georgia, North Augusta, and they had, what was that place called? Rent-to-own? Was that what that was? What is it called? Rent-a-center. Is that still around? Is that still in existence? People rent TVs. You can get a stupid TV 40 inches at Walmart for like $199. Who wants? And you rent for X amount of dollars. You paid about $1,000 for that thing when it's over. It's what? It's not a desire, it's a lack of discipline and dedication and earning it. I was listening to Rob West on Faith and Finance the other day, and he was sitting there saying, in his realm, what is it called? Inheritance something? Inheritance, it's some kind of term he used. They've invented this term. My generation, the boomers, in many regards, are financial savvy people, and they save. And those behind them are waiting, inheritance something it's called. And they're waiting their financial freedom. Have you heard this, Brother Mark? Their financial freedom. Let's say, for instance, and I'll use mine. I'm not throwing mine under the bus. I'm just giving an example. Cody, Josh, Christina, wait for them to get my investments rather than building their own. And that isn't, and I listened to that just 2 days ago on 4 o'clock's program on WCRF at 103, Rob West, Faith and Finance. That is an actual thing where people are doing that. And can I say this, if anybody's ever been involved in people's estates, there are many children that sit around licking their chops, waiting for it to take place. And then we haven't talked about this yet. And I'm not just randomly throwing stuff out there. I don't know if I've ever heard in my whole time in Christianity that there ought to be something that is specifically designated when you die that goes to the church. And I'm not saying that just to lobby for this church. How many times does that happen? You know what happens when somebody dies? And please, just let me be transparent for a moment. And I'm not shooting at anybody when I said this, because nobody knows this or not. It's normal. It's worked into marriages and funerals that the pastor gets. What do they call that stuff? Has anybody ever had a person pass away? It's an honorarium, and you give that to the pastor to speak. Do you know how many funerals I've done where there's no honorarium? Sometimes I think it's my personality. I always tell people, hey, whatever you need from me, I'll do it. Okay, this is it. They do that almost sometimes out of a guilt that the pastor did that. Where's the honorarium for God on the death of a person that says, I want to make sure my investments go past me? And those are things you don't ever hear. We don't talk about it. The average person sits there and says, man, that's all the preacher talks about is tithing. I don't ever mention that really. I know people that teach that stuff by principle. I know pastors that give discipleship classes before you join the church, and they discuss that. Because part of church membership, can I say this, is being a steward over your assets to grow the kingdom. And you grow the kingdom out of the local church. So it's not a lack of desire. It's a lack of discipline and dedication. So let's review the obstacles again and give the last two, and then next time look at the obedience of them. These are the next two. The obedience of finances under the principles of finances. There is an obedience to them. God has specifically stated things in Scripture that we're to be obedient to. And then the other one is the objective of them. The objective of them. So far we've looked at obstacle number one, which was, and these are in no particular order. Obstacle number one in the principles to finances is just a lack of knowledge. Just a lack of knowledge. Number two is current financial debt. It's an obstacle sometimes. And it just keeps propelling if you don't do something about it. The next one is an inability to control spending. Some people just can't do it. It's impossible to do it. Number four that we looked at was a lack of goals, and we covered those last week, which leads to this one, and I mentioned them. This is number five, fear of commitment. Fear of commitment. Let me try and give this in a way, just in church in general, not in financial stewardship. We are living in the day and age where people come to church, they don't join the church. We are living in a day, Brother Ryan, where if they don't come to church or they don't join the church, they come to church. Now they've even got to the place where they watch the church. You know what that is? It's a fear of commitment. And there's people, I'll even go farther than that. There's people that know they need to get saved and won't get saved. I remember what I used to tell Rodney all the time. I used to say it. When I can get my foul mouth in check, when I can get my life in order. And it was a fear. You know why? Because I felt like committing to the church meant I needed to stop that mouth. I needed to stop my lifestyle. I needed to stop doing the things that I was doing because that would take commitment. I'd have to be committed. It was easy to get off work and just do whatever I wanted to do. If I got saved, then I couldn't do that. That's like saying I'm going to get fixed before I go to the hospital. It's a commitment comes. Can I say none of us are committed? None of us are committed. You don't, Ryan, you don't have the capacity or the ability to be committed to anything without God. We're fickle. We're sheep. We fail. We're all of that. It's God that inspires us. And the more you push that commitment back, the softer that knot gets. And then pretty soon he just says, okay. You Proverbs 1, I'm trying to listen to them when I drive to work and when I go home now. I'm just listening to them on a cycle on the radio. Faith coming by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Proverbs chapter 1, and it sits there and it talks about where it says, you wouldn't heed my wisdom. And he says, I also will laugh at your calamity. Because you wouldn't listen. You wouldn't listen. There should be testimonies down the road, 5 years, 15 or 20, or even saying to your kids, I was in a church as a young man, and my pastor taught on finances. And I applied those things. That he gave me an opportunity to cut copper out of the ceiling in the basement to begin. Does anybody ever remember when you could? When I was a kid, I had a paper route, and I mowed lawns, and I did different things, and I worked on a farm. My first job was $30 a week baling hay, working on a farm, milking cows. $30 a week. Do you remember when your parents would go down and co-sign? Was it they co-signed and you got a book? It was almost like the size of a passport. Does anybody remember that? And then you made your little things and you added that thing up and your parents were trying to teach that. Can you imagine, Ryan, if you did that and years down the road, you say, I was sitting in the church and my pastor mentioned those things and I started doing it and man, I retired at 55. And there's people that retire early because they've set themselves up to retire early. Fear of commitment. This is and can be for many one of the largest obstacles many times to overcome. This is like so many things, whether it be finances or not. Jobs, people are fearful to commit. They're paying people now bonuses to join. When I went in the military, Brother John, there was this thing called the GI Bill. They gave you a bonus. They would match yours. I put in $100 a month, which was $1,200 for the first year, and then they'd pay up to, They'd pay up to how much ever money when I got out of the military to go get my education. They did that. That was an incentive. It was a bonus. Companies do that now just to get people to commit. Now they do these hiring agencies. This is how bad we're getting in all aspects of our life. They have these hiring agencies to send somebody over to see if they're going to work out in the company because they don't want to invest in that person to train that person to do a job, and then they leave in 6 months. So now, what do they call those things? Temp agencies and so on and so forth? It's easier to do that. There's less risk and reward. You know why? Because the person hiring realizes the non-committal attitude of the people that want to work. The banks with debt-to-income ratio. They'll ask you to put all your debt on the table. They'll research it out before they let you borrow on that. Because why? They know all of us are capable of it. They know we are not capable to balance our own debt out. So the people lending to us do a check on us for a debt-to-income ratio to see if we're even, even risk. What's the risk to be able to lend somebody money? Jobs. People have a fear of commitment for jobs. Family. Fearful to commit to their family. Marriage. It's the thing now to just date. Shack up, live together. There's a fear of a commitment. A commitment to weight loss. That's every year. And I'm not picking on anybody when I say this. You have to be dedicated to it. I have a scale in my bathroom. I weigh myself every day. Out of duty, out of dedication, because I know I have food issues. Talk about, I can eat anything. And I can't stop. I wanted to get 2 frappes the other day, large. I mean, I'm donuts and cookies, and some old preacher reached out to me and said, you better back off that iced milk and cookies at night. It's a fear of commitment. I weigh myself every day. There's a Fitbit in my pocket. There's little things that I do to discipline and be dedicated to not be overweight, because I'm a steward over my what? Temple. And the list could go on. Is the fear of commitment, let me say this, with the fear of commitment. When I first listed that and thought of it myself in my head, I thought of this, enlisting in the Army. For me as a lost teenager with no money, no assets, my 1969 Buick Skylark Custom, I blew the motor on it. I was having to get a ride to work. I had no family, no future. I had enough in me to say I don't want to stay here and be nothing. What inspired me more than anything back then was not those that had succeeded, it was those that had failed. You know, sometimes what keeps me on the straight and narrow, Miss Allison, in church, is watching all the failures. Is that okay for me to say that? It's terrible to see people fail. And I sit there, man, my eyes are killing me. And I sit there and I say to people, I look and I go, I don't want to fail. Listen, I'm not shooting at anybody. Navy veteran. What happened? What happened? You say, oh, well, it was situations and circumstances. It's dedication. It's desire. It's devotion. I looked around at people that failed. I grew up on a dairy farm in the middle of nowhere. Most never left that area. They never had anything. They never made anything out of their life. I didn't want to be, what was it in the mountains of West Virginia, Miss Paula? You're either going to go in the military or you're going to be a meth head or a coal miner. That's the choices you have. And you know how many end up meth heads and they're stealing from everybody under the sun? It's terrible up in them mountains, everywhere. My motivation was the failure. I didn't want to be one. I had to do something. But for me, watch this now. Going down to the MEP station, listening to the recruiter, and signing up for a 4-year commitment to the military, or 8-year commitment rather, knowing personally none other than my father, who is deadbeat, and my grandfather, who I admire greatly, I knew it would take a commitment. Man, I was walking around my neighborhood. I was doing push-ups in the front yard. I mean, and I knew this much, if I go in and I don't finish, you can't buy a gun today if you're not honorably discharged from the military. I don't know if people realize that. And look at the amount of people that serve in the military. What's that, 13% of our total population usually is military veterans? What are you saying? Fear of commitment. I was scared to death. I was extremely fearful. And yet by taking that first step, watch this now, it propelled me to where I am today. It set me on a course where I met God and I am what I am today. I do not want to repeat my Sunday AM message, but it dealt with fear and its crippling effect. You have to face the fear of committing yourself to fixing the problem. I've met more people through the years that start right and give up shortly thereafter. I'm mainly only addressing this fear of commitment from the aspect of overcoming debt. But many people have a fear of commitment over starting the journey of putting things in place to be a better steward and aid your future versus hindering it. Most people today live in the here and now. They live in the here and now. I like that car. I've said before, we're driving our future. We're living in our future instead of acting our wage, I use that term, and living with what we have now. Young people see what it took their parents years to get, and when they get married, they want it immediately. Let me say that again. Young people get married and want what their parents took years to acquire, and they want it immediately, and they realize, and all these companies will do it. I remember when I signed up for Amazon Prime. You can play the better part in this. Amazon Prime signed me up. They said, "Hey," and they do it everywhere. I'm not recommending this to everybody. I just feel like I've got a little bit more control than the average person. I signed up for Amazon Prime, and then they offered me an Amazon Prime card, and I said, "Okay, what's the offer? $500." And then I got the $500 card, and they said, if you spend X amount of dollars on it, if you get the $500 Prime card, we'll give you, what was it, Cody? $150 in merchandise purchases. And I had just bought my motorcycle cash, and I said, I need roll bars for it. Signed up for the card, $140-some for highway bars, Devin. Got them for free, got the $500 card, and then didn't use it. You see what I'm saying? You say, well, Brother O'Malley came here and said, don't use credit cards. You're right. Our church uses them. We don't have purchase order numbers. But we pay our utilities and other things off of credit cards, Chase cards. We have several of them for the missions account. It keeps it. It's helpful for us if you control it. If you control it. And let me say this. When I got here, Miss Linda, you guys know this. They didn't have those credit cards because the deacons, not you, Brother Bill, but the deacons, nobody had a credit rating to be able to apply for the credit card. So I had to, as the new pastor, I had to apply for the credit card because of my credit rating, and then we used them here, and we pay our utility bills, and we pay all these bills. We pay a zero at the end of every month, so no interest on that. And then all those points you get, because we sign up for those points go into things. So we max out that card at about $5,000, or our utility bills at about $5,000. Those points, what do you get? Is it a dollar or a penny on each hundred? It's, what is it? It's a dollar for every hundred. And then that gets put into our general fund. You're making it work for you. They're not looking for us. They're not looking for us to get a credit card, Brother Mark. They're looking for the person that their debt-to-income ratio is in the 60s or whatever, 40s, and they get them, and they're kind of a medium risk, and then they get in there, and they give them 29% interest rates, and they make billions of dollars every year off of that. Fear of commitment. I've met more people through the years that start right and give up shortly thereafter. I'm mainly addressing the fear of commitment from the aspect of overcoming debt, but many people have fear of commitment over starting the journey of putting things in place to be a better steward. Age your future now versus hindering it later on. I've said it many times over the course of this study to the young people. Start now. How many have? How many have went home and said, I want to set something up. I want to do something. Michaela, I don't know if you're listening or doing this stuff. $5 a month is good. Just anything is better than nothing. And then watch this. You know what takes, at least for me, I can only speak for me. All of a sudden it builds and you go, wow, there's $500 in there. If you're not careful, that $500 now becomes a nice shiny new toy. Or you sit there and go, man, I want to see if that'll get 1,000. I was sharing with somebody the other day, maximum credit rating, maybe it's my OCD in me, is 850. And I'm really close to that, Brother Mark. I was sharing that with somebody the other day. I mean, I'm two digits away from that thing, man. And I'm sitting there telling Libby some days, how do I get it to that 850? I just want to get that extra 12. How do I do that? You know what I'm saying? And you say, what is that? I can go in just about anywhere, and I can get them to work for me. You say, well, you're not supposed to have debt. We'll live in Africa for 10 years, and you don't have banks that you can rely on, or people that fulfill their missions obligations. Sometimes you have to. I sold my first house, doubled the price of my house, and then because I, foolishness, I spent $36,000 of that in ministry expenses over there. You say, wow, you weren't a good steward of it. I probably wasn't. But you know what God allowed me to do? He allowed me to get in an accident, come back to the States during a terrible housing market, and get a house that I, again, doubled the price of it. And when I sell it to live on a, with a no basement, when I sell that house to live in a no basement house with no stairs, I'll have, you know, I'm doing pretty good with it now, and already doubled the price of that house because I bought a foreclosure. You can make the system work for you if you're wise and you seek wise counsel. Most people don't because they have the desire, they don't have the discipline and the dedication. Let me give you this next one. I want to get off these. I know I'm only addressing finances, but I could branch off and do a series in and of itself on the fear of commitment in and of itself. People don't like to commit. And then they commit, and then they never do it. I have a lot of people say, Pastor, I want to do something. They never do it. I came here to a lot of people that had a title, but no determination to do anything. I'm this, but why aren't you doing this? Here's the next one, the last one. The last obstacle, and I could list many more. Inadequate resources. Inadequate resources. What do you mean by that? Many convince themselves that they can't fix their current problem or prepare for a better secured future because of their current resources. When learning or researching, you may come across this term when you're doing your own research, and I've already mentioned this term, DTI, or what they call debt-to-income ratio. It is a figure that is calculated by dividing your total monthly debt payments, not complete debt, just your minimum debt. A credit card has $3,000 on it. You don't total that together. What's the minimum debt payment for that? You compile all those numbers together with your monthly income. This is mainly for people buying. This is the term for people that are buying. The banks use this. For us, if I wanted to go down, remember when I was talking in the leadership meeting that one time? I wanted to go down and secure, because my thing now is trying to build a reserve in our general fund in case something happens, in case an AC unit goes out, so we don't have to get a loan. I don't like loan a church. I definitely don't like loans as a church, and the next guy might. Don't criticize him for it. Listen to why he's doing it. But I don't like it because of the verse of Scripture that says the borrower is servant to the lender. I don't think the church should be servant to some entity holding something over our head. But we have X amount of assets. That's wonderful. But to secure or to make good on that debt, are you going to sell a portion of the church? You see what I'm saying? So the debt-to-income ratio is just a term usually in the banking realm. This is mainly for people buying, purchasing, or acquiring more debt. If we were to go down there, we have to show, what's the name for those things? We have to show the last 3 years of, not profit margins, but I'm thinking about our total income for the year. So what do you have as total income? And that's a crazy story when you're talking to the bank, because our total income at the beginning of the year is this. Remember, that's where the gray hair comes from. You go to secure something. I think when they did that here, they did promissory notes from people in church. That was, I wouldn't recommend that, because people are fickle. People are fickle. People don't commit. People don't, they fill that card out and then they don't commit. I've mentioned it with missions. Nobody twisted an arm. You fill that card out, you fulfill that. And so this is mainly for people. I saved this one, this last one. What did I call it? Man, I'm dragging my feet. Inadequate resources. I saved this last one because it moves us right in the next one. In a nutshell, you have to have more coming in than you have going out. Once you pay off your debt, you need to be a better steward of it and as well plan for the future. Joseph comes to mind. This is why it is important. Joseph saved for the good years. He saved in the good years to sustain him in the bad years. This is why it is important to sit down and figure these things out when deciding to fix the problem or prepare for the future. I've mentioned this many times. We've had interns here from Providence. Caleb, I've sat down with him. Many young guys I've sat down with before. And I said this. I said, if you're going to get married, prepare for it. And they scratched their head. Well, we're just going to get married. Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you. He is our groom. We are his bride. We are going to have the marriage supper of the Lamb one day. While he is preparing, what's he preparing? A place for us to stay. Part of a responsibility of a husband is to prepare a place for their bride to stay. I said, Caleb, you have 2 years to save to marry Courtney. In that time, you may could save the whole total amount of a house, or you could save to at least have the down payment of that. Brother Buddy, myself, Brother Colossa, Brother Klein, Brother Dan, others, we served in the military. The VA will back us because we got an honorable discharge. Every time I move to go to another house, I will take my VA qualification to go to another house. When I came here and didn't have a job, I hadn't had a job for a sustained amount of time, I was able to secure a house. Why? Because I prepared for that for my bride, and I did it by serving my country and planning. Caleb saved for that. We used to carry him over the threshold, right? Didn't we used to carry him over the threshold? Now we take him down to the rental apartment. I carried Libby. Think I'm joking? 1011 River Ridge Road, right across from the Masters in Augusta, Georgia. We were married and lived separately for 3 months, her with her grandmother, me on post, till I got the adequate finances from the military. And we secured an apartment, shouldn't have, didn't know I could get a house. And then I carried her up the steps of that townhouse. And, well, anyways, I'll leave that. That's why I have a knee replacement today. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Let me finish this. The reason my formula is not the same as DTI, mine. You have to have more coming in than you have going out. But you do need to sit down and total everything. Going out and everything coming in to find the excess to be able to attack the debt. Many people don't have any access to attack the debt. What does that mean? It means beans and rice. It means beans and rice. And it means a second job or being a good steward of the job you have and getting promoted. I wish he was in church. He started at Valvoline and he's third in command in a company over in Streetsboro. I wish he had that same gumption in church that he has in his personal life. What's that mean? Hard work pays off. Instead of waiting for somebody to hand it to you. My formula, as I said, is not DTI, but you do need to sit down and have more coming in than going out. Let me add this. When you calculate those figures, tithe, missions, special offerings, future savings, and repairs come into play and as well play a part when acquiring that figure. I know a lot of people, watch this. I know a lot of people that don't tithe. You know why they don't tithe? Because they're tithing to all their toys. They're given to all these other areas and they say, I can't afford to tithe. You can't afford not to. Here's what Malachi says. He says, prove me herewith. And I'm misquoting it. You do the tithe and I will open up windows in heaven to give you a blessing you'll not be able to even understand or receive. God will do his part when we do our part. More coming in than going out. The reason many and most can't fix their problems is because they do not have the adequate resources to fix them. Also, they can't fix them because they became servant to a lender and surrendered all the excess from their DTI and left nothing to save or serve God with. Let me circle back to the tithe, missions, special offerings, and future savings. Those are not debts. Those are not debts. I know a lot of people, I think Brother O'Malley touched on this. He said at the beginning, this is God's and then the rest is mine. I'll pay God his debt and then I'm going to do with it the rest what's mine. That's not how this works. Those things are not debts. They're devotions. They're disciplines. They're disciplines. I've talked to people before that tithe and give to missions and give to special offerings. Can I use the term religiously? But then there's other areas of their life that are all over here. And I'll sit down and I'll go, how are you disciplined and devoted in this area, but you're not disciplined and devoted in this area? Because I'm fearful in this area. We'll place the same fear. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Wisdom. You see what I'm saying? So figure out having a balance across it. I shared this with the Timothy guys the other day. Happy people give out of convenience. I can take you to a lot of churches that have an exorbitant amount of money that they can use. They're happy. Preacher, don't preach on nothing. I'm happy to give here. He's making me feel good. He's making me feel religious. I'm happy. Happy people give out of convenience. Holy people give out of conviction. Holy people give out of conviction. I am convicted. This is how God's kingdom grows. I'm a steward of His finances, and I'm going to give Him back and His portion, and I'm going to live off the portion He allows me to have. I'm finishing. The only way you'll be able to commit to those, tithe, mission, special offerings, future savings, is one of two ways. You have to decrease spending. You have to look at everything. We're going to talk about a budget, what that looks like, how to compile that. You have to decrease your spending. Number two, you have to increase your income. Work harder. Get a better job. Realize that it is a part of being a steward. God doesn't have to give to you what He can give through you. He wants you to be a funnel. Listen, anything I've done as a pastor, as a person, as a Christian, I didn't do it. It is He that liveth in me both to do and will of His good pleasure. I think I used this term to somebody the other day. I'm a pawn on God's chessboard. He can move me at will. If I didn't believe that, I said it to Mark last night, I wouldn't be in Ohio. I'll read this passage of Scripture and I'm done. I want to close out with some Scripture. Every time I look somewhere now, all I see is money. Matthew 6, Sermon on the Mount, verse 19. Jesus, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. My truck, 2015, had 3,000 miles on it, Cody, when we got it that day. It was off lease, never bought a new vehicle. Off lease, it has 95,000 miles on it. The other day when I had it washed, I think you ought to be a good steward of what you have. You ought to take care of it. You ought to vacuum it. You ought to look like God could be able to get the keys and not be embarrassed to drive downtown in it. Is that fair enough to say that? And I looked the other day and I said, what in the world? Oh, my goodness, this gutted me. Right after I was teaching about cars and the money, they're just a pit. The whole, buddy, what is it? Rocker panel above my step side. I can stick my two fingers straight through it. And the whole face of the rocker panel is now peeling off. You have to, if you live in this area, the Rust Belt, now you even have to average that into the equation. Why? Jesus said it right here. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. Josh has had how many cars stolen? If that ain't a sign. They steal. Verse 20, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Is it Scott Pauley that says you ought to live your life in view of the judgment seat of Christ? Treasure, I wrote this beside it. Where is your treasure right now? If somebody were to sit down, a CPA were to sit down and look at everything you have, and he was spiritually wise enough to see what you've already laid up there, what would those two bank accounts look like? Do you have more assets here in the here and now? Or do you have more assets there in the there and then? 22, the light of the body. Watch this now. This is so convicting today. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. What do you think the single eye, Michaela, should be looking at? Huh? If the light of the body is the eye, if therefore thine eye be single, it's singly focused on something, thy whole body shall be full of light. Watch this. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, then he asks this question, how great is that darkness? This is where many in my circles can be very quick to jump on the lost world and highlight their darkness. But how dark is the Christian's darkness that doesn't steward and lay up his treasure scripturally? Verse 24. This is all context about money. No man, he says, can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot, he says again, serve God and mammon. Now, mammon is not necessarily money. It's basically things that grab our attention that we lust after, if you will. And I'm going to tell you what. Why do you think the advertisement industry makes the amount of money they do? Because they're drawing our attention to it. I've never seen food at restaurants that look like they do on the menu. You say, what kind of restaurants do you go? I don't go to the ones that have the picture on the menu. I go to the ones that don't even have the price on the menu. They still put pictures where I go to eat. But the whole point is they never look that way, do they? Because they're using glue and paint and CGI and everything else. They're trying to get us after those shiny objects. Verse 25. Therefore, after I've said all this, he said, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body. He's challenging them, Michaela, to trust him, have a single eye, have a body full of light. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, now he challenges us, here's the days of thunder. You drive 40 laps on those tires your way, and then you drive 40 laps on the tires my way. God's challenging us. He says, take no thought. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall you eat or what shall you drink? Which of you taking thought, verse 27, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider, now he's giving him the challenge, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things shall be added unto you. Take no thought, therefore, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. I've said this before, closing statement. It's not wrong to have things. It's not. It's wrong when things have you. When things have you. When you have to have them. When you do everything to acquire them, and you don't think anything about putting up for him. That's a wasted life, and it's not a single eye, it's a multiple eye. You're always looking at the next, newest, best thing. Father, we'd ask you to help us, I plead. All of us could take heed to these things. Lord, there's so many things. I mean, advertisements, emails. I get them all the time. I see the nice, shiny new gun. I see the new ammo. I see the new vehicle. Rust comes along, and I sit there and I say, well, I'm going to have to fix this. I might as well get something different. Might as well organize my finances so I can have something better. Lord, help us to keep a single eye. Help us to realize that if you clothe the children of Israel in the wilderness, and not a word is mentioned of their clothing falling off and you not helping them. If you can do that for them, you can do it for us. Let us lay our faith on the altar and trust you and have a single eye, we plead in Christ's name.